All right, welcome to Energizing EAM. My name is Scott McKenzie. So glad that you are here. Once again, we are broadcasting from Inforum 2019 here in wonderful New Orleans. Great place for food, of course. And apparently there's some drink roaming around here too as well, but that's okay. We can handle that too as well. Oh, hey, there's a fan of you, Clay, right there. You're one. He's walking on by and he's gone. He's got a broken wing, that guy. Anyway, thank you very much. We're going to be talking to a gentleman by the name of Clay Bush. Did I get that right? With Stratum Consulting?
You got it.
Oh, all right, man. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the future when it comes to determining your assets and what we can do to deploy today. And I think it's asset investment planning. I'm excited about it. You should be excited about it, too. So let's get going. There. Clay.
Yes, sir.
Don't let me down now. I put all my energy and effort into that intro just for you.
It was awesome.
And I'm all worn out now. No. Hey, for the listeners out there, let's give us a little background on where you come from there, Clay, and Stratum Consulting, and just, you know, let's lay that foundation of why you're such a great professional.
All right. Well, as a personal background, I'm a South Carolina boy. So,
oh, really?
Originally. I live in Denver now, but I am a Clemson man. It's a great time to be a Tiger, isn't it? You probably hear that all week long, haven't you?
It's not the real Tiger. If you're here in Louisiana, this is the real Tiger.
That's right. Well, you got a lot of Clemson people.
You don't
here.
Have much of a schedule now. You're pretty much just cruising on into the old playoffs, aren't you?
That's right. Easy road.
It is. Okay.
Yeah,
we digress.
Been living in Denver since 97, met my wife there, and so we've settled there. And just love the mountains. We make use
Beautiful.
Of it all the time. That's right, mountain
Beautiful.
Biking, yeah. Snowboarding.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. 52-year-old people can still mountain bike, Scott. Did you know that?
You're 52?
Yeah.
I can only hope to look like you. Because I'm only 35, and you can tell I'm rode hard and put away wet.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Privileged to be a coach on my son's team. That's a high school sport in Colorado, mountain biking. And that sounds
Is it
pretty cool.
Really?
It's pretty sweet.
So I did a project in Arizona, and we were staying right outside of Phoenix. And then we went up to Sedona, and then we did some mountain biking around Sedona, you know, zipping around those mountains. I got hooked on it. But when you live in Louisiana, it's not as, you know, dramatic.
You got to work pretty hard.
It is. You got to like mud a lot.
Yeah.
So you're a coach on a mountain biking team.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a different sport than your traditional baseball, basketball.
Yeah.
It's just a different culture, and it's really very supportive. And, you know, even though it's a team sport, you're really racing against yourself and trying to better yourself.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other conversation because I'm just trying to figure that one out. I'm thinking to myself, wow, they got to – but I bet you it's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
But how long has it been around?
This is the 10th year of our league.
Get
they call
out
it
here.
The decade of dirt.
So what's decade of dirt, that's true. But you've seen changes within just manufacturing of bikes, too.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, I can
Don't
only imagine where it was like a Schwinn varsity in the beginning. And now it's
when we go to the races, I'm like, son, look, there's about $1.5 million in bikes here.
It's all graphic and whatever.
Carbon
fiber, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
No,
then does your son look at you and go, what's my problem?
Oh, he has to decide if he wants a bike or a car. They're that expensive.
You want the car. Yeah. Trust me, you want the car.
It's a real trade-off. It costs about the same, a good used car and a brand new bike.
Is it really?
Kids out there spending $5,000 on a bike.
Get out of here. I'm in the wrong business. Holy cow. Okay, never mind. So now that you're a coach, you're out in Colorado, you're a Clemson fan. Okay, bring me out of this doldrum.
So Stratum, we're about to be 17 years old. So we've been on this EAM track for a long time. Even before the company was founded, we were with DataStream.
I've heard that name over and over again, and they're really sort of the beginning of the whole EAM sort of product.
Right. That's what EAM is the predecessor company was DataStream out of Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that are here come from that era. So we're the Graybeards now, Scott, Silver Foxes.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, what's interesting is the impact DataStream had. I mean, you've started yours, and there's other companies that have just sort of evolved and grown out of it, and of course Infor, and that's a legacy, baby.
That's right. That ecosystem has spawned a lot of companies.
And you guys are pretty close.
Yeah.
You know,
small community.
It is small, that's for sure.
It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of great people.
Yeah, absolutely. So 17 years at Stratum.
That's right.
That's amazing. Okay, so you've got some major street cred. That's evident. Okay, and but it doesn't stop there. So you've seen it from the past and where it is today, and where are we going in the future? And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the functionalities that I think are very applicable to heavy asset industry. So
that's right.
Give us a little taste of what that future looks like.
Well, what you're seeing these days, and maybe I can just talk about the public sector, favorite thing to talk about. We do about half of our business in the public sector. So you're talking about state and local governments, federal infrastructure, big time asset intensive stuff. And I'd say for about the past 5 years or so, one of the things we've been focusing on is how to assess the value of assets that are deployed. Yep. In an entity like a wastewater plant or a water distribution network.
Yeah, where the asset life is better be more than 40, 50 years.
Yeah,
you know?
They have to plan on a 20, 30-year horizon in these public sector industries. So one of the challenges they've been having is, of all the stuff they've built, what's its state? I mean, is it in good condition? Is it not in good condition? How long can we expect it to last? And how much money do we need to budget for, you know, in 5, 10, 15 years from now?
So in the case of the water treatment, you know, analogy that you provided, you got a pump there.
That's right.
Pump's been in service for 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is. Try to determine the overall life expectancy of that pump, and then determine from a budgetary point of view, hey, that's got 5 years left because of these parameters, and then we're going to do, you know.
That's exactly right. So we're bringing a lot of science. You know, over the past 10 years, the amount of available data on these assets has just grown exponentially.
Yeah.
So now there's concepts called decay curves. So you can say this class of asset, like a pump, typically decays at this rate over the life. And so when it hits this point, you know, you have to begin budgeting for replacement. You're within 2-3 years.
But you have to have the discipline to be able to pull that data and track that data.
For sure.
And because it's data driven and science driven, are there locations for the collection of that data that you're saying, okay, that's an Acme pump, right? We can use real names, but that's an Acme pump, and we've got some market data associated with that. Are there locations like that?
Well, you're pulling together different data sets in this case. So you've got the manufacturer's original information.
Yep.
And they have a pretty good idea of if you put it in service in this way and apply it this way, it's going to last about this long. But then it's your job to collect maintenance history. How has it failed in the past? Have you been doing the PMs on it? And also you're pulling in things like telemetry data, energy usage. So if you can bring all this stuff together, you know, a pump might last 10 years in one application, the same pump might last 20 years in another application. And then you got concepts like redundancy. So this might be the spare pump or it might be the live pump.
Right.
And so you're bringing together so many data sets and crunching those numbers, so you're bringing science to it.
So, but I would imagine many of the companies are not, had not done that in the past. They might just say, we've done maintenance here, sort of the maintenance stuff.
That's where we come in, Scott.
And then you clean it up.
That's right. We help them.
Do you ever say, hey, that life expectancy of that pump is getting ready based off of that curve, but you know what? You can take that same pump, the same, you know, flow requirement, whatever it might be, and stick it over here and get a greater life out of it, because it's not as harsh over here as it is over here.
Well, it's common for, like in a wastewater plant, you might have 6 pumps that are designed to do the same thing. They're all redundant.
Right.
So you run the new ones for a while until they get to a certain point, and then you're cycling in the rebuilt new ones, and they become the primary pumps and the secondary pumps. So there's a rotation scheme to it.
Can you take an asset like that with that type of data and then, it would be dollars and cents, of course, but then you've got a decision of saying, okay, I'm going to perform a maintenance on it, and I'm going to put a pretty significant amount of capital. Yeah, you can capitalize that.
You can.
Yeah,
rebuild for sure.
Yeah, I was just getting ready and going, yeah, that makes sense. So you can capitalize it, but then you're also going to have the conversation of, well, do I just replace it with something that is today?
That's part of
the
numbers we help them realize is, you know, if we're getting ready to spend $50,000 on a rebuild, let's look at what we spent in the past and what we're going to get out of this rebuild.
Yeah. Right? But so, once again, it gets down to the data. It gets down to, you did a rebuild here over here. You thought it was going to last, you know, 10 years. It lasted 8 and things like that.
Right. Oh, make a mental leap with me. One of the reports we provide is a listing of assets going out into the future that are expected to expire in 2021, 2022, yeah. 2023. The customer can look at it, but they're highlighted. So like it'll be in yellow, for example, and that would indicate you've already spent as much on maintenance of it as you paid for it. Or if it's highlighted in red, you've spent as much on maintenance as a new one would cost. So these flashing lights were given to the client. These are the bad actors you need to consider maybe advancing that replacement schedule on.
Rule of thumb. You're going to have to spend money on maintenance. That is not capitalized. That is a one-for-one reduction in your bottom line, so some people sweat the asset. What is a sort of a rule of thumb of being able to perform maintenance on an asset that's not red versus yellow? You want to keep it yellow? You don't want to. Do you want to spend more?
It depends on the class of asset, but in generally not.
Yeah.
It depends on, like, if you're talking about a turbine in a power generation plant, you're going to spend more. I mean, you're going to continuously rebuild that thing over 25 years.
Yeah,
so, but if it's a pump, then, I think once you've spent as much as you paid for it, you need to consider, is that the right pump? Or do we have new technology available? You know, let's get something more substantial, for example.
Yeah, but once again, it gets down to the ability to be able to pull that data.
Yep.
But it's not only that, Clay. Isn't there a cultural shift here within the organization?
There has to be.
It has to, because you could sit there in a snapshot in time. Hey, yeah, we're going to find all this data and that asset's this, and we've just done that great thing, and then all of a sudden you guys bolt out the door, and you've given them the keys to the kingdom, and yet they go back to the same way.
Same habits.
The whole thing over and over again.
We like to say there's a cost to collecting data. It costs money. Somebody's time is going to be spent.
Right. Like it or not, and so cleaning it up.
You got to pick your battles, especially when you're talking about user adoption. If you got to have this piece of data, then you're going to have to hold people accountable to collect it. But you don't want to overwhelm them with data, especially if you're not going to use it. If people think they're collecting stuff and you're not going to use it, it's not going to work out too well.
That's a big deal. It's got to have meaning. Right.
Exactly.
You're not going to sit there and just, hey, I want you to go dig that ditch just because I want a hole over there.
Yeah,
nobody's
going to
want to do that.
You always make me do these failure codes, but I never see anything.
That's right. That's exactly correct. But you can eat that elephant one bite at a time.
Yeah. Incrementally is the way to do it.
That's it. And so
you can't take a user from 0 to 60, you can't just go out there and run a 13
especially
second
heavily,
quarter
heavy,
mile.
They're not nimble. They're not known. You don't have heavy industrial, heavy, public and nimble go in the same sentence. That doesn't happen.
One step at a time.
It is one step at a time.
Move them from paper to mobile. Then increase the number of data collection points you're asking on the inspection, little by little.
But you can sit there and you can say, okay, through some sort of asset prioritization, you can say, okay, I'd like to look at these, but okay, you need to look at these. These are the reasons why, and they're pretty significant. We'll take these, we'll set them over here, but they're important.
That's a pretty simple approach. I mean, in a public utility, you just take things by criticality.
Yeah.
So your main pumps that are single points of failure or something like that, you're going to spend the most time on those, the highest cost assets. It's easy to stratify it and pick your battles there. So if it's an air conditioning system for Comfort Air, it's going to be low on the totem pole. Unless it's the CEO.
Right. The big thinkers, wing of the office,
the VIP area.
So, when we start talking about public sector, you're focusing in on: are you doing transportation? Or is it water?
We've done a little bit of all of it. Some transit, some transportation. Water and wastewater is probably our most common client.
Yeah,
we even do things like radio infrastructure management with Motorola.
No kidding.
All over the board.
Oh, that's interesting. Because when you start looking at water treatment, wastewater, whatever, those are, you just don't build one out of the blue.
Those things are mostly funded in the 70s.
That's right. Yeah. That's it. Make it work. And
keep it going.
And make it work safely, because you don't want to have water issues.
That's correct.
For the people.
On either end, water or wastewater.
Do not. That's what we call bad publicity.
Sure. Yeah.
but you're getting more. But you're outside of Colorado. You're not just in Colorado and you're dealing with that. You're
We're all over the country.
Yeah, that's right.
Our base is in Colorado, but we have people stationed all over, and you know, we're equal opportunity.
Very good, very good. And then, so outside of this new stuff that's happening, where do you see it going? I mean, what is that? I mean, it never stops, Clay. Come on, you know, it's like you guys are way out there, and I mean, it's just, where do you see it going?
I think the next thing I'd like to see, and you know, I have talks with Infor about this a lot, and it's very feasible, is voice activation. So, I mean, I literally could be a mechanic, and I could be writing a work order without even using my fingers, right? I don't even have to stop on a tablet. I can just say, you know, Coleman, for example, I need to create a work order. Coleman says, oh, I see you're standing next to Air Handler Unit 1. Is that the equipment you're working on? Yes. Jeez,
that's pretty creepy, right? Come on.
Or shall I use your default piece of equipment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm starting the clock, sir. Let me know when you finished your work. It should be that easy.
I agree. And I believe voice is it's untapped.
Yeah, it's coming quick. And then I think you'll see some augmented reality.
So. Yes, augmented reality. Jeez, Clay.
Yeah, I got the dream.
You're talking sexy, baby, in the asset management.
Cool stuff.
It really is, man. I'm jazzed by that. That is great stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Stratum's going to be involved in all that stuff.
For sure, yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's some of the stack that Infor's providing already contains the voice activation, the AI. It's only a matter of time.
And see, what's interesting about AI, too, is how you deploy it within the industrial sector or whatever you want. But everybody, it's one of those terms that
everyone's using it.
Everybody's like, yeah, we're doing
it. It's a little
AI.
Cloudy what it means now.
Yeah, it's like machine learning. And right now, I get it down to the fact that you just create parameters. And then that thing says that you violated this parameter, you know. But it's getting there will be a consolidation because everybody's talking AI, everybody's talking all the other, you know, special jargon out there, and it's got to get consolidated.
I think most people's first thought is AI can tell me the day this pump is going to fail, you know, by examining data and crunching a bunch of numbers and stuff like that. That may come to pass, but it's more like decision support. Like I'm talking about.
Yeah, because when I was doing a project and was collecting data, one of the things that was years ago, right? And it's like, yeah, there's truth in that data, but it's so voluminous, right? And I could see some in an augmented AI type of process that says, that data's not good, that's fine, and be able to process it, as opposed to the human person going, no. No, it's
exactly.
Trying to just like grind that out.
It's the same example I was using earlier. As I start to work on that machine, AI could be running through the history in the background. Oh, last time this happened, you had to replace the diaphragm.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and put one on hold for you in the storeroom.
You know, another conversation to have, Clay, is how we as humans can process it. You live it, you breathe it, you eat it, you do it. But it's the education component that the majority of the like us, we live in. It's like, wow, I'm just trying to pack a bearing, and you're already talking about AI telling me how to pack a bearing and when I packed a bearing, and I'm doing it too hard, and I'm putting too much, you know. It's the adoption from a human perspective and the culture as well, because there's also a lot of, like, concerns.
You know, a lot of maintenance people like to be the hero of the day. If something breaks down,
riding
they want
on that white horse, baby.
Yeah.
It's so true.
If they can
culture.
Be faster and more effective and still get to be the hero of the day, you know?
I'm telling you, that's the other. Because I had a company. It was an industrial maintenance company. One of the biggest things that I had a hard time with is I can replace that pump. I'll get down in there. It failed, but I'm here, baby. Clap, 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 clap.
You know it.
You white horse it. Oh, man. Okay, so now that I know you're a Clemson fan.
It's a great time to be a Tiger, Scott.
Oh,
great time. You're looking at peak Clemson.
Jeez.
We'll be peaking for the next five.
Well, I look at it this way. As an LSU fan myself.
Well, you guys are good this year. Really good.
Yeah, but look at the past. We had that, you know, constant, okay, let's give it to running back, run off tackle. Let's do it again. And everybody, every college out there is going, yeah, we're playing LSU. Off tackle.
You guys are going to the playoffs this year, I think.
You think so?
I think so.
We got to get past Alabama, which is always just sort of nemesis type of, oh, wow.
I'm putting my money on LSU right now.
There it is.
Mark it down.
You're just trying to.
I'm just trying to butter me up.
You are. Yeah. All right, you listeners out there. Hey, Clay, thank you very much for joining Energizing EAM. You were wonderful talking about the future.
It's a pleasure, Scott.
And everybody, you gotta look at Infor. You gotta look at the technologies that are available at Infor and how they all work together. You get people like Clay who are just passionate, and I mean passionate about service, passionate about solutions, passionate about leveraging technology to make your company better. That's what we're all about here. So thank you very much for joining Energizing EAM. You guys have a great day out there, and thank you, Clay, for joining.
Thank you, Scott. Enjoyed it.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Once again, that's Clay Bush. He is with Stratum Consulting, and that was live from Inform 2019. On the Energizing EAM podcast, he's got some mad street cred. You need to go out. You need to reach out with to Clay at his LinkedIn contact. Clay Bush is the name. Stratum Consulting is the company. Great people, great company. You will not be disappointed. Once again, go out to this particular podcast at industrialtalk.com/Infor EAM. And download your EAM toolkit. That's the 7 must-have EAM reports. If you're thinking about EAM, Infor is the way to go. As well as 1 month free on the Industrial Academy. And then, of course, we have a webinar coming out called Build an Effective Industrial Sales and Marketing Platform. We're all about success here at the Industrial Talk Podcast. So go out, reach out. Once again, that's industrialtalk.com/Infor EAM. Find out more. Reach out to Clay, man. He is the dude. Mad skills. So thank you very much. Be bold, be brave, and dare greatly. Change the world. That's what we're all about. Take care. We're going to have another great interview coming your way. So stay tuned.